William J. Drummond is the founding editor of NPR's Morning Edition, and for that experience alone, he would be an intriguing guest. But he was also an award-winning newspaper reporter for the Louisville Courier-Journal, and that was during the Civil Rights Movement. Then he went to work for the L.A. Times, from L.A. to New Delhi to Jerusalem to Washington. Presidents Ford and Carter each appointed him to jobs. And after years at NPR, Bill Drummond moved back to California and became Professor Drummond, teaching journalism at UC Berkeley, which he still does more than 30 years later. So Bill Drummond is joining us from a UC Berkeley studio. He's written a new and important book that we're going to talk about. Hello, Professor Drummond. Thanks for joining us on Insight.
Good morning, Beth, and thank you very much for having me.
You have witnessed so much history. You've had so many remarkable experiences. But San Quentin Prison and the prison newspaper have become the subject of your very first book. So someone must have told you you should write the book, but it's not as simple as all that, is it?
Not at all. I stumbled into the whole idea of covering prisons many, many years ago when I worked for the Los Angeles Times, back in the late 60s and early 70s. And when I went overseas, I put down that portfolio and didn't pick it up again until I came back here as a professor at UC Berkeley.
I'm going to read from the first few pages in the overview of your book. You write, "I was a pioneering black man in the newsroom of the Los Angeles Times, the most influential newspaper in the state, and I seized on the prison unrest story from its beginnings. At that time, the gap between prison truth and the truth that made its way to the printed page was huge, and I intend to explore the reasons why." So your book is, in fact, titled Prison Truth, The Story of the San Quentin News. Who did you write this book for, and why?
That's a very, very good question. The book started out in one direction, and midstream, it changed directions. The whole reason that San Quentin News exists as it does today, and it's thriving, and it has a lot of influence and a lot of support. The whole reason that it got there was because of the efforts of a small group of prisoners who decided that they wanted to do something different, and they put this together. And they were led by a man from San Jose. His name is Arnulfo Garcia. And Arnulfo was primarily responsible for recruiting me in to become an advisor to the paper. And I was quite amazed at all of his achievements when I looked back at the checkered history of what was going on in San Quentin, and I saw how much change had taken place. So initially, I was focusing on what Arnulfo had accomplished. And it was the book originally started out to be sort of a profile of all of his undertakings and his achievements. And I wrote the book primarily to show that ordinary people can do supremely heroic things. You don't need a MD or a PhD. You don't need any D. You just need one D, and that's determination. And that's what he had. He was serving four life sentences. Four. But he wasn't going to let that define him. And little by little, he got support. He pulled himself up. He got involved with the newspaper. And he had a vision. Well, despite all of his efforts at rehabilitating himself, he finally got out of prison. And tragically, 2 months after he got out of prison, he was killed in an automobile accident in Gilroy. And I was in the midst of researching this book, and I said, we have to change gears here. And so two-thirds of the book picks up the story of the momentum that carried forward after the tragic death of Arnulfo and his sister.
This book does really soar, I think, because of the middle section which is all about the characters in the newsroom. In fact, that's what the section is called. And you take us into the lives of these people in such an intimate and human way, Professor, that I came to a much better understanding about how a human being can have 20 or 30 or even 40 years imprisoned and come back out into the world truly a changed person with a remarkable contribution yet to be made in their lifetime. And it's something that you think that we would know or understand, but the people in your book really make it vivid and real, and it's not understood, is it?
Well, I have a theory that prisons have walls around them, not to necessarily keep people inside, but it's to keep the public outside. And my goal in writing this book was to just let people know that the people who are on the main line in San Quentin are not that different from the people that you deal with every day. They are there because of circumstances that were imposed upon them mainly through the structure of our society. And I've said this, and I have it, I think, in the epilogue of the book, that there, in my experience, going back to the late 60s and early 70s, there are three kinds of people who are in prison. An awful lot of the people in prison are people with mental illnesses, and those illnesses are not adequately contained in society in the free world, because we don't do that. We deal very poorly with people with mental challenges. The second largest group are the people, and you describe this vividly in your previous segment, people who are homeless because of addiction. Well, people are in prison because of addiction. The third group, and these are the people that I find the most interesting. The third group of prisoners are people that belong in prison, no question. They're people who, at one point in their life, they did something reckless and impulsive. No question about it. And for the most part, they will tell you they did that. I mean, it's not a secret. I run across zero people who tell me they're innocent. Mm-hmm. They know that they did something wrong. Well, how much does it take before that person acknowledges what they did? I mean, all of us have, you know, black marks in our record that we've done. Fortunately, it didn't turn out with somebody dead. But how can we live with people who've done bad things? That's basically it. And unfortunately, for about 15 or 20 years in California, we had a state legislature and a governor that decided that they were going to do away with what they called the turnstile system, the revolving door, and just send people to prison with no end, keep them there forever. And that had disastrous fiscal and social consequences for the state. And we're just now digging ourselves out of that.
You are listening to UC Berkeley professor and career journalist William J. Drummond. He is part of the graduate program at UC Berkeley, an advisor to the San Quentin News. And just a few basics about this paper. The first edition was published on December 10th of 1940. There was a period of about 20 years when the paper went dark and prison papers across the country essentially were eliminated. But it came back in 2008, and then you joined as an advisor in 2012. But this was full circle for you, wasn't it? I think your exposure and visit to San Quentin had begun many years earlier as well.
That's absolutely right. Well, let's put all of our cards on the table. The reason, and I explore this in the book, I had an early fascination with San Quentin was because my mother was a murder victim. And until I wrote this book, I had never actually explored my feelings about it and what had happened. But it was something that was traumatic for me. I was 12 years old, and she died on Labor Day in 1957. And the man who killed her was sent to San Quentin. And I knew that he was sent to San Quentin. And for many, many years, I had wondered what had happened to him. And that was my earliest exposure to the criminal justice system. So when I started researching the problem of racial tensions in the California prison system, this was in the late 60s and in 1970, I went to San Quentin, and I had every expectation that I might bump into this man. So that was kind of an emotional experience for me to do that. As it turned out, I never found him. I, to this day, do not know what ultimately happened to him. But once I got there, I felt a kind of an eerie sense of connection with all of the prisoners, because I kept scanning the prison population for faces, and you know, I kind of dreaded what I might find. But because I had a personal connection with loss, with murder, with imprisonment, with the criminal justice system, I had a different insight into the story that I was covering beginning at that time, and this was 1970. Well, as I present in the book, this was a time when the California prison system was going through this really dramatic racial change. Before that time, it had been primarily a white institution, but because of different things going on in society, the prison population was little by little becoming more and more Black, more and more Latino. And, you know, Johnny Cash's appearance there in 1969, and that famous album,
right?
And I focused on that. That that was, to me, the actual turning point where the society at large listened to that music and they thought, oh boy, Johnny Cash has really got these guys excited. Well, when you explore more deeply in that, they were excited, all right, but they were excited because the whole place was about to explode. And that is exactly what happened. Emotionally, violence, all of that stuff began to spill out over the 70s and the 80s, and the prison system just decided that they had more things to spend their time on than worrying about what they were printing in that newspaper. So in the 1980s, the prison decided to pull the plug, and it remained dark, as you described, from the 1980s up until 2008.
So you do write in the book about the connection with your mother's murder. What you didn't write about, and I hope I'm not too personal in asking this, is what happened to that space inside of you, the unknowing, the maybe incompleteness of not ever having found out what happened to her murderer?
You know, that's a question I'll kind of pay forward. It wasn't until I started being involved with criminal justice in San Quentin, after I started going as a volunteer, that I discovered this idea of reconciling with the perpetrator. And I had emotionally done that years before, because it was just too oppressive to keep, you know, being angry. And in the end, I guess I kind of invented my own psychoanalysis. I began to think that it's not going to do me any good to go through life being angry or hating. And so I gave it up. And I said, this was, you know, her boyfriend who killed her. And I said, you know, he must have loved her. And he loved her so much that he had to kill her. Well, that seems contradictory. But as God is my witness, I have met people, talked to them inside that prison, and it's exactly the same scenario. So it kind of reaffirmed to me that this is something that happens. It's just part of life. And you have to give it up if you're going to grow. And I think that is what we, and I think the people that believe in rehabilitation, even the families of loved ones who've been murdered, will agree that they have to give that up in order to get on with their lives. Otherwise, you're stuck. You're consumed with your own anger.
Bill Drummond's new book, his first book, in fact, is titled Prison Truth, The Story of the San Quentin News. And again, just a few basics. The inmates earn a dollar a day, I believe, working on the paper. They work in a newsroom. And you write that as opposed to this being a traditional journalistic watchdog, this paper is also dedicated to pointing a way, you know, pointing a direction for inmates to be a word that you call a desister. and perhaps you should explain some of that mission.
Well, in our day and age, we are inundated with the kind of journalism that goes under the rubric of investigative journalism, in which you explore all of the bad things that go on. Well, there's no way to, that's no way to live. I mean, you begin to get a kind of a chronic cynicism about everything. And we could easily go every day writing about all of the horrors of prison. The Arnulfo Garcia and his friends who got this paper going decided that they wanted to take a different route. They wanted to talk about redemption. They wanted to talk about the stories of people who put their lives back together, the success stories. And that was their main contribution, and it caught fire, and it works. And it's infectious enough so that, you know, the entire Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, this is now their theme song. It's not just the San Quentin News, but the CDCR has probably one of the larger newsrooms in the state. And if you look at their website, they're constantly pushing positive stories in which inmates are doing things, they're giving back to the community, they're staging charitable events, they're taking in rescue dogs, they're doing all of this stuff. So the whole idea of creating a positive framework about people who have committed felonies is now, I think, it's replaced the mantra of Pete Wilson back in, you know, the 1980s and 1990s, in which everybody needs to be afraid of everybody in prison and keep them there and throw away the key.
So the newspaper has a website, it has a Facebook page, a Twitter handle, at San Quentin News, and I'll refer people there. Besides the Johnny Cash story, you do talk about Ear Hustle, the podcast with one of the founders being a Sac State alum, the podcast that launched in 2017. And at CDCR, you mentioned my predecessor, Jeffrey Callison, for being instrumental in telling some of the type of stories that you describe. We're about out of time here, Professor Drummond, but I also want to note that the book is dedicated to your late wife. This is an important detail people might not know, but Faith Fancher was an award-winning and courageous journalist from KTVU. She died in 2003 after sharing her diagnosis and struggle with breast cancer at a time before this was commonly done. And I am a great admirer of hers. And I just wanted to add that note and that bit of tribute.
Thank you very much, Beth. That means a lot. Thank you very much.
So thank you so much again for joining us, and good luck with the book.
Thank you.
That is Professor Bill Drummond. His book is Prison Truth. Up next, Ruth Stotter and the 5th Annual Auburn Winter Storytelling Festival. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.